Our message today comes from the book of John, chapter 21. Last week we read the earlier part of the passage of this section of Scripture. Today we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23. Just to remind you, this is the portion of Scripture that takes place between Christ's resurrection and His ascension. It's a passage of Scripture some of you might be familiar with, or maybe we preached on before, but we encourage you to listen in as we might bring out some highlights that we did not bring out in past messages. Let's read together, beginning with verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him the third time, "You know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Verse 16. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And to send to him, "Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." And Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then the saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, "But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This disciple testifies of these things, and I guess we're supposed to stop at 23, and so I will stop at 23. May God add his blessing to the reading of his will. Peter, as we recall, denied Christ three times. Peter, as you recall, said he wasn't going to deny Christ, but he did. And so we look at this passage of Scripture. There's many things that could be drawn out. But Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" It's interesting that Jesus ask him three times, and Peter responds, and then Jesus responds to Peter's responses differently each time. In the first response, in verse 15, he says, "Feed my lambs." In the response the second time, in verse 16, he says, "Tend my sheep." And the third time, he says, "Feed my sheep." Some would look at those there's a lot of discussion back and forth that you will find if you go online related to these passages of Scripture. You know, and the internet can be an instructive thing, but it also can be a confusing thing. But as you look at these Scriptures, and when he responded, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep," and the word behind "tend my sheep" is actually "shepherd my sheep." And then it says, "Feed my sheep." And someone to blend all those together is that John was just trying to make it more readable to readers. So he used some variety. So he used lambs in one place. Well, that's just sheep. And he used sheep in another place. That's just sheep. And feeding sheep and tending sheep, that's kind of the same thing. I'm hesitant to just toss those words away of all three meaning the same thing, because if you've ever been around animals, even if you have cats and dogs, but especially if you've been around livestock, lambs and sheep are not the same thing. Lambs are baby sheep. They're young sheep versus sheep, which are older. And the word there is not, behind the Greek there, is not just sheep, it's young sheep. So Peter's being told to feed my young sheep, and then shepherd my sheep, and then feed my sheep in general. Now, if you've worked on a farm or been around a farm or been around animals, you can send chores or give chores to someone or give an assignment to someone and says, hey, feed the sheep. You might have kids, and it's like, hey, feed the dog. Just go feed them. If I look at shepherd the sheep, you can get around the word shepherd, but you know, having been a farmhand, and also at other times being in charge of the livestock completely, the owner, the farmer, sends me out to feed the animals. Okay. But he's in charge of making sure they got good fencing. He's in charge of making sure what kind of food. He's in charge of their health. The farmer, or the shepherd, is in charge of the whole animal. My job is just to go feed them. And I also know there's a difference between feeding the adult sheep and feeding the lambs. And if you've had domestic animals, even cats and dogs, you feed your kittens and puppies different and treat them different than you would the larger animals. It seems more as Jesus talking there, I can see this pastoral calling, and pastor actually comes from shepherd. Take care of the young Christians. When we have babies at the table in your family and you feed them baby food, that's feeding the lambs. Because they can't handle the harder meat. Paul talks about the harder meat, right? I would feed you the strong meat, he would say, basically. But I can't, because you're still too young. You can't handle that. You don't put a steak on a baby's plate and say, here, have fun. It's not going to work. For one, they don't have the right teeth, or any teeth. So we, as we work with young Christians, we need to understand that they have different levels of nutritional needs that they need fed. We'll call them new convert class. Sometimes you might have discipleship class. But then there's just feeding the whole flock in general. You know, by the time they get out of the baby stage, you put it out on the table and you've got your different parts of the meal. And everybody in the family eats. That's all the sheep. But the babies, you feed them special. But then there's the tending the sheep. Take care of the whole flock. It's not just about the food. It's about how the sheep interact. It's about protecting the sheep, making sure they've got a roof over their heads, as it were, or if they're out in the field, that they have protection from the wolves. Taking them where they can get water, caring for their general needs. And so I'm hesitant just to toss away that John was just doing variables of words. Because he described feeding and tending or shepherding, and then he also decided the different kinds and levels of sheep. And so we do need to take care of and be conscious of when we have young Christians to treat and care for the young Christians. We have to take care and feed the whole flock, but it's more than just feeding. It's that general care. And then Jesus asked Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Now you might wonder, and many have looked at this different ways, and there seems to be some vagueness there on, love me more than these. Do you love me more than your fishing? Or do you love me more than you love these other individuals? Or do you love me more than they love me? But the heart of the question is really, do you love me more? Peter, do you love me more than these? And he asked it, at least in the translations we have, three times, do you love me? And three times Peter says, yes, I love you. Of course, Peter was grieved that when he asked the third time. But Scripture doesn't say he was grieved when he asked him the third time. It says when he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, some would blur the words here too, because behind these words are agape. Remember, agape is that positional love. Some would say that phileo is then brotherly love, or it's an affectionate love, and they would say that it's more that, to the point that you would, you know, maybe give someone a kiss. But the agape love seems to also be more of a heady love than a affectionate love. Now, I believe you can have both for an individual. You know, there's affection for, and then there's this conscious, positional, first place kind of love. So if you would go out and you would read the different passages, keep that in mind. People have their different comments. But Peter responds every time that we read there, uses the word I phileo. Brotherly love, affectionate love. It's an affection for. Three times he responds, yes, I affectionately love you. He has a deep caring, a feeling for Jesus. But Jesus only asked if he affectionately loved him one time, and that was the third time. The first two times, Jesus says, Peter, do you agapeo. Now, Jesus was not speaking in the Greek at the time, I don't think. Could have been Aramaic. But the author, the one writing this down, the Apostle John, who in Scripture, when he writes about himself, the one that Jesus loves, he writes in the Greek this distinction. Some like to, just like we said the difference between the sheep and the shepherd, they like to cast that to the side as all the same. Lambs and sheep are the same. I know lambs and sheep are not the same. Lambs are babies. They like to do the same thing with love. But here, this agapeo Jesus asked for, this positional love, this conscious placing Jesus first. Peter, do you agapeo, do you love me deeply, consciously, first place? And he says, more than these, more than whatever. And Peter's response says, yes, Lord, which is curious. You know that I, phileo, I affectionately love you. He doesn't respond in kind. I'm not as quick to just cast that off as John just trying to write in such a way
to make it easier to read.
Because Jesus says, do you agapeo love me? Peter responds, I love you like a brother. I love you a whole lot. It's almost like somebody says, hey, do you love so-and-so? You know, you got that relationship stuff. Well, I like them. Yeah, but do you like them? You know, that double like means you kind of, you know. Is it Facebook official, I guess? I don't know. But if John was just intertwining this, I love you affectionately, we'll use that, that's the phileo. I deeply love you. Do you deeply love me? I affectionately love you. Do you deeply love me? I affectionately love you. Do you deeply love me? That's not how it went. It's, do you deeply love me? I affectionately love you. Do you deeply love me? I affectionately love you. Do you affectionately love me? Yes, I affectionately love you. It switches on the third time. Why did John switch it the third time if he's just intermingling it? There's got to be significance there. Jesus was asking Peter, have you decided that I'm first? Positionally, am I first? Peter says, you know, Lord, I love you. I really, 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 really love you. But he didn't respond with the same word, same context. And so when the time it was spoken, John might have been a different set of words, a different set of inflection there. Jesus asked him again, do you love me positionally first? Lord, you know I really love you a lot. And the third time, Jesus says, okay, you love me a lot, really a lot. And he was grieved that the third time he said, Lord, do you love me? Peter, do you love me a lot? Because when Jesus asked every other time, he says, Lord, when Jesus said all the other times, he said to Peter, do you love me agapeo? Do you love me first place? But the third time, Jesus says, you love me a lot. Not first place. You love me deeply, but do you love me a lot? Do you love me first place? Why the change? And in some of your translations, you might even have this phrasing. So let me read this again, just the few verses there. Verse 15, 16, and 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to them, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I have affection for you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I have affection for you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you have affection for me? Peter is grieved because he said to him the third time, do you have affection for me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I have affection for you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Can you kind of see it's like between two individuals in a love language, trying to find out how much the other one's committed to this relationship. Are you all in? You know, it's like a guy's dating a girl and vice versa. She wants to know if he really loves her. And he hauls around. You know I like you a whole lot. Yes, but do you love me? You know I like you a whole lot. Do you like me a whole lot? Yes, I like you a whole lot. See that? And just, he was grieved the third time when Jesus says, I like you a whole lot. Jesus wants to us to have that love, that, yes, we have affection for Jesus, but he wants us to put him in first place in the list. To not be him hoy. That's a country term, and you can figure out what it means because I don't know if I can translate it. But to love him with all. And I think we see this challenge with Peter. He has this attitude challenge. I want you to listen as we look at verse 20. And tell me, well, don't tell me. Just think in your own mind. Do you hear jealousy, or do you think Peter is threatened? Or trying to prove himself better than the other individual, than John? Listen here when I read this, those things. Then Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said to the Lord, who is the one who betrays you? This is just an identifying with John, probably. But Peter, seeing him there, he sees John there. Remember, Jesus just told him how Peter's going to die. Verse 19, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And then he tells Peter to follow him. Verse 19, verse 20. Sorry for jumping around. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him. Skip down to verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about John here? Yeah, he told me I was going to die. But what about him? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Interesting exchange. Jesus had signified how Peter would die. And John was nearby. And so Peter turns and says, well, what about him? Now you might say, well, maybe he was just curious how John would die. Then why did Jesus scold him, basically? He said, what is it to you? What is it to you that I have him not die? That's none of your business. I'll take care of that. You follow me. Now, if you've been a parent with lots of children, the children are often curious about being treated fairly, at least when it's there to their advantage. Well, so-and-so got to do it. Why don't I get to do it? Of course, they always complain that the younger child gets to do anything that they wanted. The older children do. But they want to be treated fairly. So you have Peter saying, well, what about him? And just like in that parable, say, listen, you do what I told you, and I'll worry about them. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've said that. You do your homework, and I'll worry about them. You do your chores, I'll worry about them. That's not yours to worry about. You take care of yourself. So he's kind of scolding Peter. Listen. So it seems that Peter did not like being scolded. I think that's probably common, right? I don't know that I enjoy being scolded. You probably don't enjoy being scolded. And Pete is very quick. He wants to be comparative to John. He wants to know how John's going to die. Or he just seems to want to be lashing out. And so in this discourse that he's having with Jesus, it seems like Jesus sees an attitudinal issue with John. And he's putting his finger on it. He's pointing out to John, Peter. Attitudinal issue with Peter. And he's putting his finger on it. And he's saying, Peter, you need to follow me. Tells him that twice there. You follow me. Don't be worrying so much about everybody else and what they're doing and not doing. Where's your love at, Peter? I want something more than just this affectionate love. I want more than a feeling love. I want a committed love. And we're reminded how that in Scripture, how often Jesus speaks. And the Bible tells us about a marital type of relationship as Jesus comes for his bride. And we think about in marriage, a successful marriage is a committed love. It's not a feeling love. Because there might be times in your marriage you don't really feel the love. But you have the love. There's a difference. And there's times that you may or may not like your spouse very much. That time will pass if you have the committed love. Peter needs to have a committed love. Not that passing love that, yeah, Jesus, I will never deny you. Even though everybody else will never do it. Peter's just being a bragger. But he didn't follow through on it. He has an emotional love. He has an affectionate love. But does he have a committed love? Committed love that doesn't worry about how he compares to everybody else. How it feels to everybody else. But committed. Committed to God. So what kind of love are you carrying today? What kind of love do you have today? For God. That deep, committed, all the time, Jesus first, I love him more. And if we do love him, he expects us to care for others. The lambs and the sheep. But you, he says, follow me. Let's be standing together. Lord Jesus, would you help us to search our hearts and consider you asking us the question, how do you love me? Help us to consider our answer, that we might have a love deeper than an affection, but something positionally first place. It's not just an affection that kind of comes and goes. It's not a puppy love kind of thing. It's not just when it's the good times. It's an all the time. And help us to be obedient to you and follow you. Care for those around us. Be careful not to be comparing ourselves to others, but to follow you where we're at, devoted to you. Help us to be reminded. Help us to be searched. Help us to be obedient. And if you're putting your finger on something, help us to surrender. Grant us your love and your peace. May we focus on you and be able to respond. Lord, I love you more than these. I love you with more than just a feeling. In Jesus' name.